This is Paul Seeger's beginning tape two with Cuffin Williams,
yeah,
who came from Wales in 1914 when he was 19. Mr. Williams, let's get you to America. So you're saving up your money.
Yeah.
And was there someone in America that you were corresponding with?
No.
No.
No, but yet this, I'll make it short. In 1913, I went to church, Sunday school. There was about 12 of us in the same class, in the Sunday school class. And there was one young fellow that just arrived. And he was a stranger, I didn't know him. I did get to know him. I found out exactly what I wanted. He had been in New York for 4 years, working in a stable like there, taking care of horses. And so I got to know him very well. And I was asking him questions about America, because I got my idea of going there as soon as I can. And he was telling me all about it, these things. One Sunday afternoon, it was in January, in March, January, February, March, he said to me, we were coming out of the church, he says, I'm going back to America. I can't find a job here that's worth a thing. I'm going back. He says, why don't you come with me? Well, Dave, I says, I'd like to, but I haven't got enough money. He says, how much have you got? Well, I says, I got £20. You've got enough. And if you run out of money, I'll give you $100. Come with me to America. That's the place for you. I says, all right. Let's go across over here now and book the passage. And so we went over there, that the agent was living right across where we were talking. And he went there, and he said, within 2 weeks, yes, I can reserve a passage for you to go to America. 2 weeks. So we gave him £1, $5. I said, towards the ticket. Well, anyway, we got the next day. I went to the post office. I got my money out, and I paid my passage. $50 for my passage. And I told Dave that I would give them another $5 to put down on his trust. So Dave came and he settled with us for his ticket. And in 2 weeks, we were on our way to the United States of America. But there is a lot more to it than that.
What is his name, Dave?
Dave.
What was his last name?
Dave Lloyd.
Lloyd.
Yeah.
And what had he been doing in America before he went to Wales?
Well, taking care of these horses in the stable in New York. And they'd go there and then hire a horse and they'd ride them around the park, keep it going around the park all the while, see? Then bring him back to the stable, and then Dave would take care of the horse. And that's what they did for 4 years.
Well, this is what you wanted all along. This is your big chance.
And this, well, I said, Dave, what's the wages again? I'm getting $50 a week, a month. $50 a month. But I'm getting about $30 in tips. In tips. That's about $60. I see. Well, I says, for little I get, for a few pennies, and I've got to save it, it wouldn't pay me to stay in Wales. Come with me, and if you run out of money, I'll give you $100. And I did. And we landed in New York.
How did your grandparents feel about you leaving?
I didn't tell them a thing. I didn't tell them. No, and I didn't go to see them. It was too hard. It would be perfectly too hard to say goodbye to them at the age they were in. And so I knew they were much better off if I didn't. And I never did. But I did afterwards.
You wrote to them.
I wrote to them right along. I wrote to them to tell them that I was in America and that I was making $12 a week. $12 a week. That's That's 12 shillings a month, a week. So, I did.
What did you take with you when you went?
Just my clothes. Exactly my clothes. Just enough. A couple of shirts, and that's about all.
Did you have a suitcase or something?
I had a kind of a trunk in there. But what was in that didn't amount to much, and I got along fine.
Where did you leave from?
So, we landed in New York.
Where did you leave from?
Liverpool, England.
And what was the name of the boat?
Baltic.
You came on the Baltic.
On the Baltic.
How did you get from where you were in Wales to Liverpool?
On the train.
Do you have any memories of that train ride?
No, but you'd get to the station 7 o'clock in the morning, and you were going to land in Liverpool 8 o'clock. It took you an hour to go from Colwyn Bay to Liverpool, down there. It was 30 miles away. So, we got there.
Had you ever seen a big boat before?
Oh, yeah, they were on the Irish Sea. They were going backwards and forwards all day.
Had you ever ridden on one?
Oh, yeah, plenty. Okay. Up to the Isle of Man. Yeah. Yeah, we used to go and ride on a holiday. There were a lot of holidays, and so, and that's what I did with the other boys, but it only cost a few shillings, and that's the only good time we had, and so.
Tell me about the Baltic. What do you remember about the boat?
Well, Dave Lloyd told me, he says, We will go on the second class. We'll go on the second class. I says, why? Why not the third? Because, he says, if you go on the third, go in the steerage, where all the others were, down there, below there, You'll have to go to Ellis Island. And they lack some anyway in Ellis Island. But if you go on the second class, they'll examine you on board ship and let you go out right straight from the ship onto the sidewalk. But they won't wait with you down below. So we are paying $10, $5 down there, £10 over here, £5 down below. And that's what they did.
Can you describe your accommodations on the boat for me?
Well, there was an awful, awful lot. I didn't know this. When you go there and stand on the platform waiting for the ship to open up, you find people from other nationalities. They've come across Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, places like that, Ethiopia, Egypt, Jews, Germans. They come across the channel and come to across England into Liverpool. They could do it better and easier by doing that, by not going to wait for a boat to take to go to their own country. They couldn't, see? So there was all kinds of nationalities in that, on that ship. I was so surprised. Not only the English were up on the first floor. They were the English people. And so, but these of us, they were foreigners. And so, I never knew that. Well, when you get to live to New York, they examine you, and they want to know how much money you got. And if you haven't got enough money, they won't let you land. You've got to have money. You're not going to live on no relief. That was in 1914. So, we got here. We got off the boat at 9 o'clock. And we landed in Utica at 4 o'clock.
How long did the boat ride last?
9 days. 11 days.
11 days. Was it a rough journey?
Oh, yeah. The terrible rough.
Did you get sick?
Well, yes, I was sick and sick. And I remember that I used to drink. And I said to one of my friends, he was a Welshman, and he was traveling on the same class, second class with me, and with Dave Lloyd. He says, I says, Bill, I'm so sick, I could jump into that water and stay there. He says, come on, come with me. And we went to the bar, and he gave me a glass of whiskey. He says, take this, drink it. And I drank it. And my seasickness got over. I got over it with this whiskey, the first whiskey I ever had in my life. So,
I'm sorry, can you describe where you slept on the boat? Can you describe what it looked
like? There was There were two beds over here. One over there, one over there, above the sides of this bed. And another one over here, one over there, the other. And I was sleeping over there. And there was four other men in there besides us, three other men, with Dave and myself. And we got along all right.
Were they Welsh?
No, they were Scots and English. Yeah, but they couldn't speak Welsh, but we could. And we could speak English. We could understand them. So...
Was there a dining room on the boat?
Oh, yeah, plenty of dining room.
Can you describe
it? Big dining room. Very large dining room. And waitresses coming in there with it, carrying on, and taking care of you. Yes. Yeah.
Did they have activities for you on the boat?
Huh?
Did they have activities for you on the boat?
No.
Things to do?
They're too crowded. Too crowded. Yeah, it wasn't there to entertain the passengers. It was to take them across the Atlantic Ocean. That was the purpose of the ship. And that's what they did.
Do you remember seeing the Statue of Liberty when you came into New York? Tell me about that.
This man that was with me, this Dave Lloyd, say, he says, come over here. I remember quite well. Do you see that over there? I said, yes. It's what they call the Statue of Liberty. When we were going passing it with a boat, Statue of Liberty. Take a good look at it. You're going to hear plenty about the Statue of Liberty. And so, we got on the landing station, on the platform, and we got off the boat. We went through, they searched our belongings, and they told us to go, it'd be all right. And we had booked our passage, train, from Abergela. And on the DLW, Delaware Lackawanna Railroad.
The railroad, yeah, Delaware and
Lackawanna. And we came through Pittsburgh, Scranton, Binghamton, and to Utica. We got here about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
That was a long train ride.
A long train ride. But it was cheaper. And they were working on passengers, more so than what they did on the Grand Central, see? So here we are.
What time of the year is this that you came? What time of the year was it when you crossed?
April the 1st.
Is that when you landed?
Yeah.
April the 1st of 1914.
Well, around that, April the 1st, yeah.
Now, so David Lloyd went with you to Utica?
Came with me right to Utica. And I didn't know it. He had an uncle and aunt here. He never told me about it. And they were in the coal business. You take a coal company on Francis Street over there. That's where they were. And I got to know them. And
what did David do here in Utica?
He started to work in the mills, but they didn't like it. They wasn't paying enough working in the mills. So he quit, and he went to Milwaukee. It was there he got hired by the town, Milwaukee in the city, to be an assistant on a What was it? A hospital. A hospital carriage. What they call them?
Like an administrator or someone who works at the hospital?
Yeah.
An orderly?
No. He was working on a car.
A mechanic?
Yeah. And anyway, if you were sick and you called the hospital in Milwaukee, they send you there.
Oh, an ambulance driver.
But he wasn't the driver. He was the attendant. He was taking care of this patient while the driver was there, taking him to the hospital. And that's what he did. But
did you correspond with him after?
Right along. Correspond with me right along.
Well, tell me what you did up here in Utica for those first couple of years. What was it like getting adjusted to this country?
Honey, have you got time?
Go right ahead.
Until 1 o'clock in the morning? I got to go to the toilet tonight.
Okay. We're going to pause the tape for just one moment.
That's good. 54% of the marriages end up in divorces today. 54%.
We're now returning with Cuffin Williams.
Yeah.
The tape is now not paused. And you're going to begin to tell us what you did when you got to Utica. And take your time. Go ahead and take your time.
Well, we came to Utica on the DLW, Lackawanna Railroad. And his uncle was here to meet us down in the station. And so he said to me, I'm going to take my nephew over here to my home, and I'm going to take you to the hotel, Welsh Hotel. Williams's Hotel on Blind Dinah Street. And it's all the Welsh people there. So he drove up Tennessee Street and he turned on Blind Dinah and he laid a stop on front of the hotel. He was driving a car. Something that was very new in those days. And so, when I came in from the car to the lobby, the manager was sitting over there by the desk. And there was a row of people along here, quite a big row of them. They were all men. And so I went into the manager, the owner of the hotel, Jim Williams, and I told him I'd just arrived from Wales and so forth. And I would be staying in the hotel for a week or so. So he was listening. And all at once, hey, you men! Anybody wants to hire a young man just arrived from Wales? He can milk a cow, feed a pig, drive a horse. He can do anything. When come to find out, there were jury with the sheriff sitting over there at the end, waiting for the dining room door to open in the dining room. And anybody, but about three or four of them got up. I'd like to hire you on a farm. I'm a farmer. Well, I don't want to work on the farm if I can help it. So, I let it go at that. There was an old man sitting at the other end of the row. He came up to me and he said, I was standing by the desk. He said, young man, you don't want to work on a farm, do you? I said, no, sir, not if I can help it. He says, I'll hire you. You work for me. I'm a superintendent of the Borden's Condensery in Waterville, 20 miles from here. I says, all right, sir, I'll come and work for you. I didn't know what I was talking about. Well, you'll be ready by 7 o'clock. We'll get on the train, 7 o'clock. The dining room will be open at 6 o'clock in the morning. You have breakfast and off we go down Tennessee Street. And that's what it is. And we got to Waterville, 8 o'clock. And I went to the, he took me to a rooming house, a boarding house. And he told me, if you want to come to work at 1 o'clock, you can. But be sure to be here tomorrow morning, but be sure. And I said, yes, sir. And I went there that afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, to work. The next day, after I landed, and I was shoveling coal. You know the shovel? And I stayed there a week. When Saturday morning came, he came to me. He said, young man, it is customary for you to go to church on a Sunday, isn't it? I said, yes, sir. Well, he says, you better take off. Tomorrow is Sunday. Take the day off. Down below here, there's a Welsh church, and there's a very large congregation there. You go there so that you can get acquainted with the Welsh people. And so I did. Do you want to know the rest?
Sure, go right ahead. Did it feel good to be around Welsh people?
To be around Welsh people? There were farmers, Paracel, Deansborough, Riskany, all over. Welsh people, I did. What happened? I went to church, 10 o'clock, the usual time in Wales. But it was 11 o'clock that they went to church over here, not 10 o'clock. So I was sitting on the on the steps of that church for three quarters of an hour. When a man, I could see a man coming down the street, but the town itself was like a cemetery. So quiet, nobody around on a Sunday morning, you know. So, this man came up and he said, good morning, young fellow. I said, good morning, sir. He says, my name is Coffin Williams. I've just arrived from Wales. I'm working for the Borden's Condensery. Oh, that's right, good. So he sat right down by me. And he was asking questions. And I was answering them. When the buggies, there were horse and buggies in those days. They were coming from all directions, 11 o'clock, to the church. Well, then there was a young fellow there, and he came, and he talked with me. I couldn't understand how a nice young fellow like him was working on the farm. So, he says, you and I can sit together in the back pew. He says, we'll sit together. And so we went into the back pew and sat there. And the man that talked with me got up. He was the head deacon. And he was there to open the church. And what did he do? He says, I'm sorry to say, we have no minister this morning. He failed to come, to show up. And so, he notified us yesterday that he wouldn't be here. But there's a young man just arrived from Wales. Come on, boy. Come. And Bob said to me, Bob Jones, he said, go. He wants to introduce you to the people. So I went down the aisle and I right by him. And he got up and he introduced me to him, to the people. And he said, so he gave me a hymnal, you know, book of hymns. And he gave it to me. He says, go ahead, carry on. I opened it, and I was familiar with the hymns, every one of them. I gave out a hymn. I was 19 years old. Well, I says after the hymn was sung, I says, now what? Go ahead, carry on. So, I read the chapter. And then, what is it now? Carry on. So I started to carry on. Well, anyway, this is the thing. In November 1913, it was customary for us in Wales to perform a drama with a chorus. People, Welsh people are good singers. And so we rehearsed this drama, Taith y Pryderyn, Pilgrim's Progress, in English. And I was appointed to be the leading man in the play, in the church. Well, I got them. And there was Thursday. We were there on a Wednesday in Abergilla. The next morning, Thursday morning, we were on the ship coming to America. So, everything was fresh in my mind. Well, I said to the man, the deacon, what now? Carry on, you were all right. Carry on. Well, do you know, there were two places in that drama that fitted in with the sermon. All right. Put two parts together, you make one part. And I used that. And I kept it going for about 20 minutes with the sermon on it. And I closed the service, and the people came rushing down, shaking hands with me. And what a wonderful, wonderful sermon it was. It was beautiful. We liked it. But I didn't tell them that I got it in the book of drama. See? I never told them.
What a great way to meet everyone. See?
Well, everybody was praising me for doing it. Well, I didn't go to the church for another month when one of my days off was on a Sunday. So I went there and I knew everybody. Other Sundays I had to work, put the milk in the bottles and so forth and so forth. Well, anyway, it went along. The 4th of August landed, and word came that the Germans had declared war on France on August the 4th, 1914. Well, and he said, the English, the British, are going to declare war on Germany. And so, that day, England declared war on Germany, the First World War. Well, this was August the 4th. Well, it was for a week, for a month. And in the month of September, I had said goodbye to a young girl in there. I knew her very well. And so, I never expected to see her again. Never. So we, in September, I couldn't understand the boys talking about Utica Old Home Week. What does it mean? It means that the invitation is sent out to the old timers all over the country to come and visit Utica for a week and with the old timers. And that's what the boys were talking about in the boardrooms. They were talking about it. So I said to myself, I'll go down there. I'll take the train at 9 o'clock and I'd get to Utica. I have nothing else to do. I went. Well, anyway, what happened? I landed in Utica on a Thursday, and one day, when I landed in Utica, there was crowds and thousands of people from the Union Station way up Genesee Street. The old timers had come home for the week, and they were there visiting the old timers. So I got to know them, a lot of them. But I went to the Hotel Williams for dinner at noon. And I knew Mr. Williams by now. And he said to me, "Don't forget to come early for your dinner tonight so that you can catch the train to take you right to Waterville, 20 miles away." I said, "Yes, sir." And I did. I got my dinner. I walked down Tennessee Street. And in those days, there were streetcars. You know, streetcars. Trolley cars, they call them. Going up and down Tennessee Street. And they were going over a bridge. The Mohawk Bridge. And I knew very well that what was in those barges with those mules pulling it were wheat going to England. I knew that from my studies. And so I said goodbye. And I turned around. There were two boys standing over there. And one of them had his mouth open. The other was laughing. And the one that had his mouth open said to me, "Hello, Cofane. How are you? Am I supposed to know you?" "Well, yes, I'm Billy Davies. I used to go to infant school with you. Do you remember? I used to go on Colin Bay. Used to go to infant school." "Oh, yeah, little Bill. I remember you." And he said, "This is Bob Williams. He comes from Wales." "Well, say," he says, "there was a young girl here, just arrived, Saturday morning, and she was in the Welsh church Sunday morning, and she was inquiring about you, and she wanted to know where Waterville was, 20 miles away. And nobody knew you, they didn't hear about you. But now, I says, "Where does he live?" "About three blocks up Tennessee Street." "All right, show me the way." It was 6 o'clock then, and I had to get on the train by 7. So off we went, and we got into the house. And he said, "That's the door. You knock on that door, and it's somebody will open for you." Bill, Ann, and Will was with us. He had come with us. They were on the other side of the street, like this. And I did. And who opened the door but this young girl that I knew in Colwyn Bay? She lived next door to me. I knew her. She had come all the way during the war across the Atlantic. And she had some horrible things to say about the submarines, torpedo boats, and so forth. And I knew I could pick you up someplace sooner or later if I get to know you. But here I am. Well, I says, "I haven't got the time to talk to you now, but," I says, "give me your name and address." And she did. And I wrote to her. And I wrote for her for 2 weeks. And so I wrote to her. And I said that I'd be to see her. And I did. And so I had some old clothing. I was wearing some old clothing, British old clothing. The pants was tight, and the style length was this. So I came to see her, and we had a nice visit. And we knew very well then she was going to be my wife, sooner or later. I knew that the good Lord wouldn't send her all the way across the Atlantic during the war if he didn't have the same intention. Well, anyway, I made myself go home in Warnerville. I used to go every other Saturday to Utica. Sunday night, I could ride a bicycle to Clinton, 12 miles away, and I could make it in half an hour, and I could get the streetcar, and I could get on the bus and come right down to Utica. And my wife-to-be was standing on the corner. And that's the way we did.
What was her name?
Florence.
And what was her maiden name?
Williams.
And when did you marry?
Well, the war broke out. The war had been going on for 2 years between France, England, and Germany. For 2 years. And so, one day, the Germans did something that was neutral. It was out of style. She sank a boat, a ship, a passenger ship or something. And the United States, Woodrow Wilson was the president. And Woodrow Wilson declared war on Germany for destroying all these people that was on the ship. And so, that's how she came here.
When did you get married? Do you remember the date?
Yeah, and, no, I don't remember the date at all.
Remember the year?
It was in June. In June, I think it was.
Was it after the war?
No. During the war.
During the war.
I remember we go to the courthouse on the city hall. We got the license. We went and walked to the minister and asked him to come to the house and to marry us that night. He did. And we were married that night in Utica.
Do you remember how old you were?
She was about 22.
How old were you?
22.
You were 22?
Yeah. Yeah. And so we lived together for 62 years. 62 years.
What are the names of your children?
Irene, one. This one child. And, oh, we get along all right. So,
Do you still speak any Welsh?
Oh, yeah.
Could you recite the Lord's Prayer for me in Welsh? Yeah. Would you do that, please?
Oh, yeah. Are you listening?
Yes.
All right. Let us bow down and pray to the good Lord. And I will repeat the Lord's Prayer in the Welsh language. Yr arglwydd yw fy migael, ni bydd eisiau arnaf, i fe a wnaen i orwedd mewn profeidd gwestog, i fe am thwys gerllaw y dyfroedd tawel, i fe am ddychwel fe enaid, i rais fy mhen ac olew, dy ffiol sy'n llawn, daioni a thrigaren am ddiau, am ddiaioni, am thrigaren, am ddiolch, am oes oesoedd. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
That's in Welsh.
It was wonderful.
But, do you know something? There are lots and lots of Welsh people. They request me because there's no Welsh minister at the in Utica. There's no Welsh church here anymore. They're fizzled out. And when they are buried, they want the Lord's Prayer to be said. And the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, this will be said at the funeral, at the grave. And I did, always. But I never, never charged nobody one penny.
I'm sure it meant a lot to them.
And they do it. Yeah.
We're almost done. I have one final question to ask you, and then we'll be done. Are you glad you came to this country?
Well, yes, because this, I've asked that question myself a million times. And the answer is this: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And I come to the conclusion, he gave me every inch of the United States of America to live in. And I've lived here now, I think, 84 years. And I wouldn't want to live no place else. But I'm afraid that my country, your country, everybody's country here that lives here, is going to run into an awful, awful turmoil before they can straighten out things, before things become normal again, as they were in the olden times. That's what I'm afraid of. I don't know.
Mr. Williams, I want to thank you very much for letting me come and talk to you. We've been talking for 2 hours now.
How
about two? We've been talking for 2 hours.
Oh, my.
About your life. And I really appreciate you giving us the time to do this.
Well, I've been doing church work. I was in charge of the Christian Science Church for 31 years. I was in charge of the whole thing. Everything.
You've had a very full life.
And I don't know.
This is Paul Sigrist signing off with Cuff and Williams at the Masonic Home in Utica, New York, January 30th, 1993.